You can be seated. I'm glad he's a Savior, but not only that, I'm glad for that definition. He's a wonderful Savior. And praise the Lord, we are here in this season of Thanksgiving that we can identify with the wonderful Lord in which we serve. This morning, I want to remind you also this week our midweek prayer service will be Tuesday night and not Wednesday night. We do that on the holiday here at Thanksgiving. That gives people time to do things on Wednesday for the Thanksgiving day. And so we have our services on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, here at the church for the midweek prayer service. So do remember that and be here. All right, if you would this morning, we're going to try to bring a message concerning the thoughts of where we are concerning Thanksgiving. Now, there's a lot of verses in the Scripture. I looked up some here and I wanted to just share. I've heard a lot of messages about Thanksgiving from so many different verses in the Scripture that has that word in it. I guess the first one that I thought of was Psalm 100. The Scripture tells us that we are to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with rejoicing and our praise. And so, there's a lot of verses. There's Psalm 147 says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise unto our God." On and on you could go. Even in the New Testament, there are verses. Says Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." There are some verses that talk about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And someone would say, what is the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Well, if you really break down our own personal life, many times we're not very thankful. And we take a lot of things for granted. And sometimes it sacrifices our thoughts, our time, and just we struggle with the thoughts of how can I be thankful? What more can I do? And so there is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The Scripture says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, says, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." That's a pretty good verse. That's the last verse in the Bible that uses the word thanksgiving. It says, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And so I want us to use a different verse. It does not have the word thanksgiving in it, but it certainly is a verse that we are to have thanksgiving in our heart for what God has done for us. And when I call out the verse, I want us just to say it together because we all know it, pretty sure. John chapter 3, verse number 16. "For God so loved the world," say it with me, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." What a wonderful verse it is to think about for Thanksgiving. "For God so loved the world that He gave." And the Scripture goes on and says that in that next verse that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And so this morning I want us to just sort of think on this very well-known verse, very popular verse. Sometimes verses become so familiar to us that they really don't speak to us like maybe others. And if this verse was not as popular, we would read across that and say, "My, what a great verse that is." But it's so familiar to all of us. We have been able to say it for a number of years, and children learn that. And at home, around the table, children learn it in Christian school. Children just learn that attend churches because of the magnitude of the verse. And sometimes the familiarity of a verse will rob us of what it really is saying and the importance of that and how it ought to speak to our souls. And so this morning I want us to look at John chapter 3:16, and I've just entitled this the John 3:16 of Thanksgiving. This is the day that God has given to us. This is the week that God has given to us here in this country that we are to remember and we're to be thankful to God for His blessings upon us. Many times we look at Thanksgiving as a complex task. It's hard sometimes to be thankful. We look at it sometimes as when we think about our thankfulness to the Lord. Sometimes we look at it as almost an impossible task that we could be thankful to God in such a way that He would understand our heart and that He would know what we really have in our soul. But I'm glad God knows things that I cannot even utter. He understands my soul, my heart. He understands my mind, and He knows where we are and what the position of life that we're in. And so just as our salvation is before us in this verse, so is the thanksgiving that we are to have to God. God has made these things very simple for us. We have used a tract, I guess, ever since the church has been in existence over 40 years. We have a tract back there that's entitled God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Churches all across this country for years and years have used that tract. It's in many, many different languages and has been blessed of God so many times by giving a clear presentation of the message of salvation and how God has made salvation simple. God has made it easy for us to come to know Him. God has made it easy for us to make our trip from this earth in which we live upon, and we can go to heaven and be with Him. God's made that very simple. Now, the world has made it difficult. Religion has made it difficult. Sometimes preachers make it difficult, but salvation is very simple. Salvation is very real and simple, and so is our thanksgiving to God when we break it down, I believe, in this verse here, John chapter 3, verse 16. A very simple message, and I hope easily to grasp and to understand. And we'll try to look at this, and we go out from here today that we'll be thankful in our hearts for what the Lord has done for us, and that we are able to say, I know that I'm born again, know that I'm saved. And what a blessing it is to know that. Let's notice this verse a few words at a time and just sort of break it down. And I believe it'd be easy for you to remember because the way we break it down here, something that's easily to grasp. First of all is our thanksgiving for God. The first two words it says, for God. Now it doesn't explain God. The verse here doesn't even try to attempt to prove that there is a God. It just simply says, for God. Just sort of like in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God. There's no explanation about God. There's no trying to prove His existence. It's just simply in the beginning God. And it goes on to tell us that He created everything that there is. So when we come to this verse, it just simply tells us, for God. I'm glad this morning that there is a God in heaven. I'm glad there's a God that knows my heart and knows my needs. He knows and understands everything about me that sometimes I feel like is very complex. Sometimes that I feel like I can't get the answer. I can't totally grasp all the things that maybe come at us. But I'm glad God is there, and He's a God of majesty. He's a God of might, and He's not some little grandfather sitting up in heaven. He's a magnificent magnitude God that can take care of every problem that every person has in this world. This morning it's calculated that there is a little over 7 billion people upon the face of God's earth. God can handle, God knows, and God can take care of every problem that every one of those 7 billion people have. We're just a small minority. We're just a little speck when it takes the whole world into concept. But God is there to take care of the need, whether it be here in America or whether it be in Africa or whether it be in Japan. Wherever you want to think about, God is able, and He is so strong and so good, and His might is so much that He can handle every need that we have. And the first need that every individual has is the need of salvation, for God so loved the world. And so the salvation that comes to us and the salvation that is there, God can and has so graciously given to us not just a plan, but a person of salvation. We call it a plan. We deal with plans. We call it the plan of salvation, or We call it the Roman road of salvation, but God has given us much more than just a plan or a road. God has given us salvation totally. And He has the ability to save every individual that will come unto Him. And He said, I will in no wise cast out. And so salvation is that personal matter between me and God. I don't have to talk to somebody else. I can talk to God. And sometimes it does good. Sometimes we need someone to help us. Sometimes we need someone to guide us and to direct us. As the man was asked, do you understand what you're reading? And that man said, how can I except some man show me or guide me? And so we sometimes have to have folks that will help us and guide us. But the greatest guide that all of us have is none other than the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And so our thankfulness this morning should first and foremost be to God. The God that has created the world. The God that has given life to so many, many people. And 7 billion living right now. And the billions that have lived before. And those that will live after. It's all because of a God that loves and cares for people. So we should have our thankfulness for God. This coming Thursday, most of us will sit down at a table and we'll partake of some maybe special food that we haven't had in a while, and some things and have with family and friends or loved ones, and we'll sit down and we'll be thankful, and we'll go through the, I call it go through the motions of being thankful. We'll have our prayer before lunch. We'll have times of gathering, and we'll talk about maybe some of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us this past year, and we'll just sort of make it a personal family time. But more than that, more importantly than that, is that God is the one that has made it all happen. He is the one that has given us everything that we have in our life. So, thankfulness for God. The second thing I want us to look at is the thankfulness for grace. For God, next two words, so love. The grace of the Lord sometimes can be a very complicated subject. If you dig down into the depths of some of the things in the Scripture about God's grace, it can become very mind-boggling. But for you and I that look on the outside and we look at the simplicity of the Word of God, the grace of the Lord is so magnificent. It is so wonderful that we can understand that by God's grace, that love for us, grace, unmerited favor, the desire that God puts within us that I want to serve the Lord, I want to be a child of God, that He gives to us. And by the way, if God doesn't give it, we don't have it. We're not going to work it up ourselves. We're not going to engineer it. If God doesn't show us, if God doesn't give us that, we'll not receive, we'll not have. But the grace of God has come that we might believe, that we might have life. The source of grace, of course, is the author of that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the coming to this world to die for sin, we have the story of grace all the way through this blessed old book that we read. From Genesis to Revelation is the story of God's grace, of God's marvelous favor to man. Can you find me one in the Scripture? If you can, please deliver the message to me. Can you find one in the Scripture that merited God to love them? Can you find someone that deserved for God to love them? Can you find someone that is good enough and well enough and spiritual enough in their own self that God would want to love them? I don't believe you can search it from cover to cover. I don't believe you will ever find the name of any person that deserves the grace of the Lord. We do not deserve it. That's why it's grace. Because grace is that undeserved smile, that undeserved favor, that unmerited favor that God gives to us. For God so loved. He loved so much. He came, He loved so much. And the book of God gives us the story of grace, and it gives us the author of grace. It gives us the message of grace that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Don't cast them away. Don't put them aside. Have them to come and to partake of the blessings of the Lord. So we're to be thankful for God, first of all. We'd be thankful for His grace because He so loved. If God didn't love me, He certainly wouldn't find anything to love. If God just didn't love us, He could look at us, and by the way, He does look at us. He knows the internal thoughts that nobody else knows. He knows the internal things that go on in our life. He knows the secret things that nobody else knows. And He still loves us. For God so loved. And you and I this morning, we should certainly be thankful for God and for His grace. And the third thing, He so loved the world. What a tremendous word, world. We live, sometimes it's a big world. Sometimes we find it's a very small world. But God so loved the world. I put out there, that's the girth or the circumference of God's love. The circumference of the need is that everybody needs the same thing. Every person that's ever born needs the same thing. They need the new birth. It's not that they need fresh water and good food. They need the new birth. Those other things are very important. But the most important thing in the life of an individual, of a person, is to know that they have a relationship with God. A new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand that. In John chapter 3 and John 3, as you go on and read here in these verses, Nicodemus didn't understand. Just like at one time in my life and sometime in your life, we didn't understand. You must be born again, Jesus said. But Nicodemus said, how can this be? How can I be born again? Can I enter again the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? You see, Nicodemus was only thinking of the spiritual aspect of being birthed. He said, that's impossible. How can I do that? Jesus said, no. I'm not talking about that birth. I'm talking about a new birth from above, the spiritual birth that comes from God. A little saying has been around a long time. If you're born once, only once, physically, then you're going to die twice. Because the Scripture calls the death of a lost person the second death. But if you're born twice, born physically, born spiritually, only die once. What a wonderful thing that is. Oh, he said, I'm going to die just once. And the others die twice? How is that? Well, the Scripture calls dying without God. We die physically. And we are dead spiritually. And by the way, that word dead spiritually in Ephesians means exactly what it says. Dead without any way of responding unless God comes on the scene. And so, if we're born once, we die twice. We die physically and we're cast in the lake of fire, which is called hell. And Jesus says, the God of heaven says, that's the second death. So we die twice. But if we're born twice, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're born physically and you're born spiritually. That's the new birth. For God so loved the world. That's the birth that God came through Jesus Christ to give unto a world that had such a great need. The new birth, the need is so magnificent and so big that we can't already comprehend it, that everybody in this world must hear the gospel. That's why our brother and sister here are getting ready to go to Africa, because they need to hear the gospel. You know what? People in Massville need to hear the gospel. People around the corner need to hear the gospel. Our neighbors need to hear the gospel. Our friends, our family. And we do that because the need is so great that they need and they must hear. The reach of the gospel reaches to every corner of this world. But it's only because and only way it does is when we preach this book. God doesn't just... God could have, but God doesn't just say, well, that group over there, they're okay, I'll save them. No, they must hear the gospel. It's for by the preaching of the gospel that He brings salvation to the lost. And of course, the subject of God's grace and the subject of God's world is none other than the provision, which is Jesus Christ. He was given to the world that we might have life. For God so loved the world that He, God, gave. He gave. That's the giver. Not only is He a giver of life, but He's the giver, period. For God so loved the world that He gave. His ability to do that far exceeds my ability. Far exceeds your ability. For God gave, and we'll find He gave His Son. Here in a few moments we'll have the plate out and we'll take up that offering for our brother and sister in Cleveland, the Evanses. And we're able to give. Some can give more than others. Some can give less. But it's not the amount that we give. It's the heart that we give. But I'm glad God's amount of His gift far exceeds anything that I ever had need of. For God so loved the world that He gave. He had an ability. He had an abundance of grace. Abundance of mercy. He had an appetite to give because He desired that people... You see, the Bible tells us that hell, by the way, hell is real. I don't care what religious person tells you, it's just a figment of imagination. Hell is real. People die and go to hell because they have not received the Son that has given. And so, He's the giver of life. And the hell was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for mankind. It also tells us that hell hath enlarged itself because mankind has rejected the gift of God. He has rejected the offer that God has given to the world that you must be born again. It's not something you have to do that's hard to do. Just believe upon Him. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer said. And he simply, Paul and Silas simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt. And then he goes on and says, and thy house. Before the night was over, the whole household had been saved and baptized. Simply because they believed. Salvation is simple. You don't have to learn a bunch of facts. You don't have to learn a bunch of big words. Brother Dustin, did you know what propitiation meant the day you got saved? Couldn't even say it, probably. We still have trouble with some of those words. We may not know all the meanings. How old were you? 6 years old. Ah, kid can't get saved. I've heard that. Well, I was 8. And a child can get saved. Simple faith, believing in what Jesus says. Jesus loves me. This I know. But when we got saved, and probably some of you that got saved in a later age time frame, some may be middle age. We don't understand. We don't know all the meanings of the words. Thank God we don't have to. All we have to understand is that I'm a sinner. Anybody have trouble with that? We are sinners. I don't believe we have to debate that question at all. We are sinners. We break God's law every day. So I need to know that. I need to know also that not only am I'm a sinner, but that God loves me. There is a God in heaven that He does love us. We do not have to fear Him. We do not have to hide in the corner away from God and afraid He's going to get us for what we've done. He loves us. And we need to understand I'm a sinner. God loves me. And then I need to know also, Jesus died for me. That's the complete gospel. He died and He was buried and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. And so, those are three facts. I'm having trouble knowing I'm a sinner. I'm having trouble knowing God loves me. Where the problem comes in is, what am I going to do with Jesus? The world says He's not important. Some religion says He's not too important. But this book says here, it's through Him that I have life. That makes Him pretty important. And so I must know that Jesus came. And the Bible declares to us that He lived a perfect life. He had no sin. I go farther than some people do. I say He could not sin because He was God in the flesh. But He died as a sinner. He went to the cross as a sinner. And there upon that cross, the sin of the world was laid upon Him. How do you explain that? How do you understand that? There's where our faith comes into play. We just have to believe it. The Scripture is very clear that He placed on Him the sin of mankind. What was lost in the Garden of Eden that we dealt with last week, it was gained at the cross of Calvary when Jesus died. We have life. So we must be thankful for the giver. God gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. Oh, and thank God. Thankful for the gift. The next four words tells us what the gift is. His only begotten Son. Preacher, there's a word in there I don't understand. Begotten. It's a word we don't use in our society too much. It's a word that means one of a kind. You see, Jesus is not just a Son of God. He's the Son of God. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Peter said, hey, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He's the one and only. He's the only one that's ever been the Son of God. Begotten means He has come from the Father. I am begotten of my Father. I'm a child of James S. Richardson. You're begotten of your father, your family, your mother. God gave you to that family, and now we have families and we are the ones, and nobody like them, are there? Except our grandkids. And so, God says He gave His only begotten Son. That means He didn't have three or four. That means He didn't have 10 or 12. He had only one. Just as Isaac in the Old Testament was the begotten of Abraham, just as He was that chosen seed of Abraham to bring forth the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ is the begotten of God, His Son. The one and only Son of God, and His name is Jesus Christ. That's His name. And the Bible says, at that name every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a very powerful verse. That verse tells us that every knee shall bow before Him. Every atheist, every evolutionist, every, you put the name to it, every person that denies God, one day they'll bow their knee to Him. And their mouth will confess that He is who we said He was. And their tongue will confess that He is the Son of God. I sort of think that'll take place at the White Throne Judgment. When heaven and earth shall flee away and no one has a place for them. And they'll stand before Him and they'll confess that He is Lord. The word Lord there means master, controller. And so we are to be thankful this morning for the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we are to be thankful for, and I just put it here because it has a G, we are thankful for the getting. Thank God I was able to get it. The last part of that verse says that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have, what's the word? Everlasting life. I'm so shocked and surprised that people that many times are very religious, But yet they deny that the life that God gives to us is everlasting. I'm alive this morning. And when I die, I'll still be alive because I have the gift of God. When they wheel me before a pulpit in a church, or if it's in a funeral home, I'll be more alive there than I am now because I have everlasting life. It's very, very equal here. Did you notice the first couple of words there says, for whosoever? That makes us all equal. For whosoever. Do you know I'm a whosoever? Do you know you're a whosoever? You can put your name there. For if, put your name there. For whosoever believeth. One day I had to realize that I could say, for if Lawrence believeth, he has everlasting life. You can put your name there. It's whosoever. That's the equality. I'm glad, thank God, God is equal with us. And God gives us all equal balance. And we can come before Him and cry out to God. And He'll in no wise cast us out. As I've already said, it's very easy. For whosoever believeth. You mean you don't have to take a test to be a Christian?
No.
I'd failed the test. Never did do very well on tests. High school, grade school, college. I hated tests. If we had a test and they had 10 things I had to remember, guess what? I could remember 8 of them. And go back over it, the next time I would remember a different 8. I don't know why I never could get all of them put together, but I had problems doing that. I've studied at night. When I was in college, Sharon studied at night with me, and she gave out the question, list 12. I couldn't list 12. I'd list 10. I always had a problem with 2. We'd do it again, I'd list a different 10. Those 2 that I left out the first time, I got them that time, but I forgot the other 2. So salvation, you don't have to learn a test. You don't have to sign a paper. You just have to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so, He's very equal, He's very easy, and all the enjoyment of our salvation shall not perish. I shall not perish. What's the song that used to sing, I'm going to live forever, I'm going to die no never. That's forever. Shall not perish. I'm not going out of existence, neither are you. We're not going to be like a dog or an animal out here in the field. When we die, we bury them and they go to the dust of the earth and that's it. No, no, no. We have a soul. For when God breathed into the nostrils of man, He became a living soul. If you look up that word living in the original, it means it continues on and on and on and on and on and on and never ends. We're a living soul. So I'm going to die, no, never. I'm going to live somewhere forever. The enjoyment of a Christian, of a child of God, I shall not perish. And the extent of it, everlasting life. Everlasting. Somebody says, give me the definition of all. Well, it just means all. It means everything. You're not supposed to define a word with the same word. It's hard not to. All means everything. Everlasting means forever lasting. That means die, no, never. The sad part about it is sometimes folks die without Christ, without God, and they die a spiritual death that never ends. I'm going to live forever. This morning I'm thankful that for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God did not send His Son to condemn us. came to give us eternal life forever. May we be thankful this week, not just this week, but every week and day of our life, we ought to be thankful that God gave His Son. Greatest gift to mankind that could ever be, for God so loved. If you're here this morning and you know Him, you understand that. We have the same feelings. We understand salvation. We understand the joy of never dying, always living in the presence of the Lord. There are many multitudes of people this morning that do not understand, that do not, they have everything in order except the understanding of the most important thing in their life, and that's eternity. It does make a difference what you believe. All eternity hangs in the balance on what we believe about this book and His Son. Let's stand this morning.